Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers, airing weeknights at 12:35, 11:35 Central on NBC, right after The Tonight Show.
So the first confirmation hearings for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet appointments began today with Trump's nominee for Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has faced intense scrutiny for his record on civil rights and immigration. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Before any confirmation hearings for Trump's nominees even began, there was already controversy over the fact that many of Trump's nominees hadn't finished the full ethics review and background check process.
Every cabinet appointee has to, by law, undergo a thorough ethics review. But according to the man who oversees that very process, that's the director of the Office of Government Ethics, many are seriously behind schedule, including several current nominees from President-elect Trump with confirmation hearings scheduled this week. Some haven't even completed FBI background checks.
They haven't completed FBI background checks. You can't even get a job at Chipotle without a background check. And this used to be a nonpartisan issue. In fact, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell himself sent a letter to Democrats in 2009 insisting that confirmation hearings for President Obama's nominees only occur after the FBI background check is complete. The Office of Government Ethics letter is complete, and financial disclosure statements are complete. And to his credit, McConnell has been 100% consistent. Now the Republicans, I'm just kidding, he completely changed his mind.
All of these little procedural complaints are related to their frustration at having not only lost the White House, but having lost the Senate. I understand that, but we need to sort of grow up here and get past that.
Yeah, Democrats, grow up. And everybody knows the best part about growing up is that you don't have to do paperwork anymore. Now, anticipating some contentious hearings, Trump nominees have been practicing in mock sessions, and that preparation is probably especially crucial for nominees who, on their face, don't seem fully qualified for the jobs they're filling. Like former Texas Governor Rick Perry, Trump's pick to run the Department of Energy. As Energy Secretary, Perry would be in charge of overseeing the nation's nuclear arsenal, which reminds me, finish building bomb shelter. Perry will be succeeding a world-renowned nuclear physicist, current Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz. By contrast, according to the Daily Beast, Perry took four chemistry courses and got two C's, a D, and an F. He got a C in physics and a D in something called meat. I guess that's why he didn't get that job at Chipotle. But today, the focus was on Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions of Alabama, Trump's nominee for Attorney General. Interesting fact, Beauregard is French for, you fellas ain't from around here, are you? Going into the hearing, it was crucial for the Senate to give him a thorough and rigorous review, given his record as a hardliner on immigration and voting rights. Civil rights organizations, including the ACLU and NAACP, have objected to Sessions' nomination based on his civil rights track record. For example, CNN reported that as a U.S. attorney in Alabama, Sessions once prosecuted a group of civil rights activists in an infamous voter fraud case that their attorney said was racially motivated. Those activists were found not guilty. And one recently said of Sessions' nomination, quote, he shouldn't be up for anything, not even a dog catcher. Dog catcher is, of course, not a cabinet position, but if it was, you can bet Chris Christie would be begging for it. Please, boss man, I'll do anything not to go back to New Jersey. Don't make me go back. Sessions' civil rights track record explained why some protesters showed up in the chambers dressed in KKK robes. And you could tell they were protesters and not actual Klansmen because real Klansmen never wear We're Number One fingers. I mean, they think it. Sessions has also expressed skepticism of attempts to remove the Confederate flag from public buildings. In 2015, when Alabama removed the flag from the state capitol, Sessions had this to say.
This is a huge part of who we are, and the left is continually seeking in a host of different ways. It seems to me, I don't want to be, you know, too paranoid about this, but they seek to delegitimize the fabulous accomplishments of our country.
The Civil War was a fabulous accomplishment? A fabulous accomplishment is the moon landing, not when brothers shot each other in a swamp. As Attorney General, Sessions would also be in charge of enforcing the nation's drug laws, and given that several states, most recently California, have legalized the recreational use of marijuana, that puts Sessions in a position to crack down on those states if he so chooses. And again, his previous statements on marijuana have not been promising.
We need grown-ups in charge in Washington to say marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized. It's not funny. It's not something to laugh about. And trying to send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Good people don't smoke marijuana. Tell that to Willie Nelson.
Are you smoking any more or less marijuana these days?
I think so.
The wording of his answer was vague, but I think it's pretty clear he meant more. So those are just a few examples of why the Senate needed to aggressively question Sessions today. But complicating that effort was the fact that Sessions is currently a member of the Senate, which means he has personal relationships with a lot of the senators who questioned him. In fact, before the hearing, multiple Democratic senators went out of their way to point out that they exercise with Sessions in the Senate gym.
You know, I go to the gym. We're on the bikes together with Senator Sessions.
We have worked out together at the gym.
I said to Jeff Sessions in the gym the other day,
a good friend to chat with about football and family in the gym.
Just when you think senators couldn't be more out of touch with everyday Americans, they think it's okay to talk to people in the gym. How much you bench, bro? You need a spot? I spot you. You spot me? Bro, take your headphones out. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin even went out of his way to describe in detail how the two came to an agreement on sentencing reform for certain drug offenses in the Senate gym.
Dick Durbin was trying to reduce the penalty for crack cocaine, which was 100 times higher than powder cocaine. Then he saw Sessions in the Senate gym.
We both showered, we're putting our clothes on, about to leave, and said, Jeff, give me a number.
Wow. Usually you get someone's number before you shower together. Once the hearing began, Sessions faced questions on a variety of issues, including his record on immigration. In the past, Sessions has offered support for the idea of an ideological test for immigrants and voted against a resolution that stated the Senate would not pass policies that discriminated based on religion. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham asked Sessions about his positions on those issues.
Would you support a law that says you can't come to America because you're a Muslim?
No.
Would you support a law that says that if you're a Muslim, you say you're a Muslim, and when we ask you, what does that mean to you? Well, that means I got to kill everybody that's different from me. It's okay to say they can't come.
I think that would be a prudent decision.
And that question will definitely stop idiot terrorists. Did you get your visa? No. Why not? I said I wanted to kill everybody. Why? They asked. I hate being a terrorist. Eventually, Sessions was asked about his role in the campaign and whether it would affect his impartiality as Attorney General, specifically as it relates to the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server.
Did you ever chant, lock her up?
No, I did not. I don't think. I heard it in rallies and so forth, sometimes I think humorously done.
Oh, it was humorous. No, I get it. It was a funny joke. Did you think it was funny, Hillary? Oh, yeah. She's done it. She doesn't get it. Graham also asked Sessions about the intelligence community's findings on Russian hacking. Remember, these nominees have been preparing for weeks for these hearings. So presumably, He was ready to offer a detailed, in-depth answer on what has been one of the biggest political stories of the last few months.
Do you think the Russians were behind hacking into our election?
I have done no research into that.
You've done no research? Did you forget this was happening today? I've done research on that, and my job is interviewing celebrities in the middle of the night. In general, though, we probably shouldn't count on the Senate to get answers about cybersecurity, as they don't even know how to operate a clock.
Say, just so my colleagues don't think I'm taking advantage of time, somebody didn't start the clock.
It's your clock. Here's me.
Oh, you got it. Okay. The light isn't working. I'm sorry. I can read it now.
And it says here it's time to get a new Senate. This has been a closer look.
The Late Night Podcast is available every Wednesday and Friday on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, back to the show.
Our next guest ran Donald Trump's presidential campaign. She will serve as White House counselor in the Trump administration. Please welcome to the show Kellyanne Conway, everyone. Thank you so much for making the time. I know you're very busy.
You got swing state voters here?
I think we have some swing state voters here. There we go. Two or three. So, first of all, I want to ask, does the president-elect know you're here tonight?
He does.
Do you think he's watching?
I hope so. He'll watch at some point.
All right, good.
We're fans.
All right, thank you. I don't know if we are fans.
We're fans.
All right, thank you. So,
he was very successful on The Apprentice. He built a incredible brand, number one show on this.
Oh, network. We're fans of NBC, not of me personally.
We're fans of your show.
I was waiting for you to say we love a closer look. I want to find, first of all, a common ground and things we can agree on. First of all, I want to congratulate you, the first woman to ever run a successful presidential campaign. That's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so I want to congratulate you on that. Also, I've seen you in interviews take issue with a group of people that you feel are sort of saying not my president about Donald Trump. And I just want to make it very clear that he is my president.
Good for you.
He's my president so much, it's keeping me up at night.
And he's so exciting. He's getting so much done. There's so much activity already. I know that's what you meant. And first, if I could just back up 1 second. It's
sure,
your show,
of
but
course.
I get so much credit for this campaign. And yes, I was the campaign manager, and I'm really excited to go into the West Wing with President Trump. But we had a fantastic team, and I think there's no substitute for a quality candidate that connects with people and communicates with them. And he did that, but I just wanted to share the credit.
Oh, of course. That's very nice of you to share the credit. When you said that you were fans of my show, I have to say I do it alone. It's a one-man show over here.
So should I go?
No, you're good.
Are we done here?
I want to ask, this broke while we were getting ready for the show, while I was getting changed for the show. CNN had a report that the intelligence community briefed both the president and the president-elect with allegations that the Russian government has compromising information on President-elect Trump, both business information and personal information. I know this just happened. Can you confirm or comment on the fact that the intelligence community has presented this?
Well, guess what hasn't happened, Seth? Nobody has sourced it. They're all unnamed, unspoken sources in the story, and it says it was based on a Russian investigator to begin with. So where are we?
I think it was based on an MI6 British investigator.
Right. Well, one of those, and then it said that it also may have originated with a Russian investigator. It also says that Hillary Clinton and groups that wanted Hillary Clinton to win may have been behind the investigations themselves. And most importantly, it says that the FBI is trying to confirm it. So nothing's been confirmed. And I have to say, as an American citizen, regardless of your party or if you don't like politics at all, which are many Americans, we should be concerned that intelligence officials leak to the press and won't go and tell the president-elect or the president of the United States himself now, Mr. Obama, what the information is. They would rather go tell the press.
But the report was that the press report was about them going to the president.
And it says that they never briefed him on it, that they appended two pages to the bottom of his intelligence report.
I believe it said they did brief him on it.
Well, he has said that he is not aware of that.
Okay. That concerns me.
No.
I'm concerned.
No,
but in general, I just want to...
I
understand. No, I understand that...
And it's not true.
What is not true? That I'm concerned?
No, that I see.
Okay, I assure you I am.
Any father of a newborn is concerned, believe me, about that. But no, it's not fair that people don't give him his due. He received that intelligence briefing. Mm-hmm. He made comments about it afterwards. And I have to tell you, there wasn't very compelling information in terms of the nexus that many people would like to make between alleged hacking and the election results. Vladimir Putin didn't tell Hillary Clinton to ignore Michigan and Wisconsin. She did that all by herself. They spent more money on Georgia and Arizona than they did in Michigan and Wisconsin.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you that the Clinton campaign was a well-run campaign.
Well, or that the Russians interfered in the election successfully, that they disrupted our democracy, which is really what we should all care about.
I agree. Now, but shouldn't we care if the Russians tried to interfere, whether it affected the outcome of the election or not? Isn't that something that I sometimes fear that the president-elect has no curiosity as to the amount they tried?
That is completely false.
Okay.
He has enormous curiosity. I'm there every day with him. He has a number of different meetings every day, briefings and otherwise. He was curious enough to figure out America. He knew America when many other Republicans did not.
Right there, Kellyanne.
No, and Democrats did not.
And by the way,
he understood America and won America.
No one does it better. Nobody does it better.
However, I wanted to answer your question about what he learns and what he knows and what he believes. I mean, he's been very specific about what he's going to do in the first couple weeks and first 100 days. You can go and pull it up right now. I think that's why he won, because he said 10-step program to reform the Veterans Administration. And he also said something that's very important, which is if we have veterans who are waiting in line, dying, waiting for care, who are we as a nation? I think that's a very important nonpartisan point.
You have not picked a VA secretary yet, is that correct?
Well, he's going to pick one, but he's just
Why hasn't that happened
yet? He's had so many different candidates with a diversity of backgrounds and opinions and vision for the VA. He actually, the list keeps getting longer. We've had a long short list for all of these different appointments. So I guess the better question on the table is if we have 8 nominees for the cabinet that are having hearings this week in Washington, D.C., Seth, are we going to get fair hearings from the Democrats? We have Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York saying they're going to obstruct any Supreme Court justice we put up. They're going to embarrass and harass some of our nominees with information that's not important. I mean, we need a government that functions. President Obama had 7 nominees confirmed on Inauguration Day. Can you guarantee we'll get that by next Friday on our Inauguration Day?
I'm not in charge, so I can't. But I will say, can you admit that there are some nominees that have put forward that the Office of Ethics has said have not been fully had their background checked by the FBI? And I just want to say, you ran a successful campaign talking about draining the swamp, talking about ethics, talking about Hillary Clinton's ethics, making ethics a centerpiece of your campaign, and it was an effective method. And yet now here we are, and it seems to me that you don't seem to think background checks are important.
That's not true. When would I have ever said that? Of course I think background checks are important, but let me take Betsy DeVos, for example. She has been nominated to be the Secretary of Education in this nation. Her hearing was supposed to be this week. It has now been pushed off, and I talked to her office today, and they say that she has completed all of her paperwork. It got in there early, and she's confident that everything is in order. And yet, she can't get the hearing on time. Why is that? Why are we playing politics with the Department of Education
politics.
Or state? Well, but President Obama, it shouldn't be. And President Obama had 7 nominees confirmed to his cabinet, including defense and state and treasury and commerce. So did President Bush, actually.
All right, if there's 7. If there's 7, we still have time.
10 days to go, folks.
I'm very excited about this. And obviously, I think a lot of the questions I'm asking you will be asked to the president-elect tomorrow. First press conference tomorrow.
Very excited.
63 days in. Why did it take so long? That's a lot longer than presidents usually take to speak to the press.
Well, the president-elect has been very busy forming his government.
But every president who ever puts together government is busy.
They
haven't had to meet with Kanye.
No, they haven't had to.
They haven't had the Kanye meeting.
I love the Kanye meeting,
too.
Come on. Let's go back and look at the schedules of other president-elect, shall we?
I'm just saying they got their first press conference out a lot earlier.
And said what? Does anybody remember what they said in that first press
conference? So now you're saying it's not important.
No, it is important. Accessible to the press. Here I am. We are accessible to the press on a constant basis. And
you are accessible to the press.
I want to
tip my cap to how accessible you are.
Can you actually do that, like a Make America Great Again cap?
I'll tip an imaginary hat, but you can't see what it imaginary says.
I sort of can.
But tell me this. Because I want to speak, it seems like you have to go on the press constantly, and it seems like one of the things you have to do is defend or explain what the president-elect has said on Twitter. Wouldn't it be great for you personally if he tweeted a little bit less? Just for you personally.
No, actually, the answer is no. I think his Twitter platform, like his social media platforms in general, Seth, they combined 45 million followers or so on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And it's his way to communicate directly with the people. It's free for you. You get information from him. The press doesn't like it because he doesn't end run around them. And it's the democratization of information. You don't have to wait for some journalist, some anti-Trump journalist, to curate the information and bias it to deliver it to you.
But there's
you just
no follow-up questions.
And then you stop. Well, there are plenty of follow-up questions.
Not on Twitter.
Come on. Are you on Twitter? There's plenty of...
He doesn't reply to the follow-up questions.
Oh, yes, he does sometimes. Yes,
oh, he replies to things, but not questions.
But look, this is... But Twitter... Think about what he's done on Twitter. Think about the Trump effect, as I call it already. He has major employers deciding to move their factories out of Mexico and back to the United States and keep those jobs here. That's what leaders do. They do that even before
they're sworn in. And so you're okay with a president sort of picking winners and losers in the free market via Twitter?
Nope, I'm okay with him.
Because that seems like what he does sometimes.
No, not at all. What he's doing is he's laying down incentives. He's saying to them...
On Twitter.
If you can, and elsewhere.
Yeah.
On the phone, in meetings, and certainly in statements, but... Look, he's an unconventional guy. We've never had such a successful, brilliant businessman take office before. It's usually a typical politician who's moving from place to place. Well, he's employed tens of thousands of people, and he invested in this city, New York, when no one else would. He had vision, and he did. There are many buildings in this city that don't just bear his name, but they bear his vision as imprimatur.
You said the other day on CNN that sometimes the press obsesses with taking the words out of his mouth. Instead of judging him on what's in his heart. Isn't it important to
judge... Did I say sometimes? I meant all the time.
So you think it's not important to listen to what he's saying, but it's more important to listen to what is
in his heart? No, I think it's both. But there never seems to be the latter.
But how can we know what's in his heart?
He expresses it...
He expresses it how? Out of his
friendly
mouth.
No. In his heart. Does anybody remember what the president-elect said moments after he received the call from Hillary Clinton congratulating and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, conceding the election to him as her president?
Yeah, we all know.
Do you remember
that.
What he said?
No.
He said, I will be the president of all Americans, even those who do not support me. And then he said, and I know there are more than a few. See, we don't have such disrespect. I'm just astonished. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm just so astonished to hear people outwardly ridicule the office of the president and its current occupant. I was raised differently, no matter who it is.
Well,
I know the media and their pollsters who were crap didn't prepare you for the election results, but all you had to do was listen to us. The cues and clues were there every day. I was on TV saying, here's how we're actually going to win.
And again, he said he'd be president to all of us, yet he has also said on Twitter that Vladimir Putin was right, that the Democrats are being poor sports. Is that really being a president to all parties when you... sort of take Russia's side
have
against...
Have you seen what the Democrats have said about him?
Okay,
did you see the $1.2 billion spent by Hillary and her campaign, not even counting the outside groups?
I
and it was all anti-Trump.
Sides.
If anybody in the audience can tell me right now what Hillary Clinton's message was in this campaign, I'm listening. Because I'm not... Donald Trump is not a message. And that was her message. She had no message.
Again, a poorly
His
run
message
campaign.
Was jobs,
I got
healthcare.
You back there.
Yeah, but they... Look, but it's important because people say, why is she still talking about the campaign? Because you're talking about the campaign and they won't accept
I'm not talking
him
about
as
the
their president.
I'm absolutely not. I'm talking about what's happening
about,
right now.
Right, but you're talking about Democrats as poor sports and them trying to
I didn't say that.
Find,
he said that. And he didn't say it during the campaign.
He said it
December 24th on Twitter.
True, because they are. Because they still won't give up.
So then you're talking about
they're
it.
Still,
I'm not talking about
it. They're still
it.
Pretending it was Jim Comey or Russian hacking. It was Hillary Clinton.
All right, my last thing. And thank you. And I really hope you come back because it's fantastic for me to talk to somebody within the Trump campaign and within the Trump presidency.
No campaign.
No campaign. That's right.
I did it.
I will say this. I'm going to make you a bet.
Okay.
I bet in the next 4 years, we are not going to see the president-elect's tax returns.
And I know, because this was talked about during the campaign many times, I bet that most Americans really care what their tax returns are going to look like after he's been president for 4 years.
I think that means you agree with me. Kellyanne Conway, everybody!
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at latenightseth.com or on the NBC app. Thanks for listening.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.